And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Bucky and BK. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, 2026, and the Buck and I are with you for the next 2 hours. On today's show, the San Antonio Spurs are on the brink of elimination after dropping Game 5 in Oklahoma City last night. We will recap the game and talk about what the Spurs need to do to force a Game 7 over the weekend. SEC spring meetings continue. We've got some sound from Steve Sarkisian, who spoke to the press in Destin. Talk about some of the other big headlines from around the conference as well. Chip Brown from Horns 24/7 will join us for our weekly Longhorns Insider conversation. We got some NHL to get into, some other college football to talk about. Of course, the BBK news and why today's not so bad as well. It is a jam-packed hump day show. We appreciate y'all spending some of your Wednesdays with us. How are you today, my man?
I am doing fantastic. Didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Lots of thunder boomers and some big, big thunder. Lots of lightning out here in the Dripping Springs area. And by the way, lots of rain too, so... It is, it's one of those nights where you don't sleep that great, but it's, you got to do it. Could be a nap day today, but it was loud. And we got the precipitation that we talked about getting in the evenings. That's fine. Don't rain in the daytime, rain at night. That's all right with me. I'm not going anywhere anyway. You know me, 8:30, I'm ready to go to bed. 8:30, 9 o'clock. It's getting nappy time. And that started early. I think it started around 10:30 or so. So I was kind of conked out all of a sudden, BK, just out of nowhere. You know, the flash of lightning in the room, and it was flashing until early in the morning.
Oh, are you scared of the thunder or something?
No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I don't like lightning. You know, when I back in the day when I was 29, I first had a stroke at 29 years old. Lightning, electricity from lightning would give me these unbelievable headaches. And so it would wire my head out anytime it was like I needed to have like a thunder jacket on or something. You know, they have these deals for dogs when it thunders and lightnings, you put them on the dog to calm them down. I just had to put my head underneath the pillow.
Wow.
For a while. And then that finally went away. It just, lightning doesn't bother me, but just those flashes in the room, just the thunder scares me more than the lightning. Okay. Now, when I'm on a golf course, when it's lightning, and the boys say, listen, we got a couple more holes to play. I'm like, no, we don't. You have a couple more holes to play. I'm not that lucky. I'm done. I don't play through lightning. I don't play. If it's the last hole, I won't play through lightning. I know. You'll play it. You'll say, hey, it's not here. It's miles away. I don't like lightning. No.
You don't go Carl Spackler from Caddyshack?
No, I do not. I don't do that. Once I hear thunder and I see that flash of lightning, if I can see it, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done. I know, yeah. I know guys that will play through the lightning. They don't want to miss their round of golf, but you know, it happened to me at Lost Pines on hole number 18, when they had the hole number 18 on the backside and it was down by the Colorado River. We had just played 17, was a par three, and we were on the green and the lightning hit like right over, thunder and then lightning hit right over the top of us where we were on the green. The guys go, well, one more to play. And I'm like, I'm not playing that last hole. I'm not going out there in the open. I'm like, no. I'm like, take my bag, put my bag on this cart. You guys double up together. I'm going in. They're going, it's just one more hole. And yeah. I'm like, I only got this one life.
You were on 18 and you couldn't finish?
I did not finish.
Come on.
I finished 17. I would not go out there. And 18 with lightning over the top of me. No, did not do it, man.
Did any of your boys get struck by lightning?
No.
Well, it sounds like you missed out on a free hole of golf right there.
Yes, I did. I did not roll the dice. They rolled the dice. If I would have been along with them, dice would have come up sevens. So no, snake. I'm like, no, I just don't do it. I don't play around with lightning.
All right.
I had my kids. When we were at the University of Illinois, you know, we had a big picture window with a box seat up there where you could sit up and watch outside. Lightning hit a tree in front of the house and knocked them out of the window onto the floor.
Good thing they were inside.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, that's it. I don't, I don't play around. It's just, it's like it comes to me being God Bolt. It comes to me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, because your last name is what it is. Are you saying you control the lightning?
No, I'm no weatherer, but I don't control the lightning. No.
And it's attracted to you because you have Bolt in your name. That's
possibly. Possibly. I don't want to be around. I get indoors with it in a car. I don't mess with it. I've been very, very fortunate not to be struck by lightning or been close enough to it. It's kind of powerful. It's kind of some powerful stuff.
Yeah, I would argue, I guess we're all fortunate to not have been struck by lightning, but I don't think you're super fortunate because it's so unbelievably rare that someone gets struck that I think you're probably more fortunate for a lot of things in this life than that.
Yeah, as much as I drive a car.
You're right.
You know, my likelihood of dying in the car is more likely to happen than to walk out on the golf course with a whole handful of clubs walking down the fairway than when I do driving in a car on I-35.
Yeah, exactly. That's way more dangerous these days.
No doubt about it. Good morning to the soldiers. Good day to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas. The soldiers in the state of Texas and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so much for what you do. We do appreciate what you do. We appreciate you and your families and what they're doing by sharing you with all of us. And do be safe out there. PETA should be very happy at me. I bypassed a snake crossing the road yesterday. Are they happy with me?
Let's get to that story a little bit later. We got to dive into some sports conversation here.
Yes.
Maybe save that for the BBK news, because I do want you to share an experience that you had on the road yesterday that you told me before we started this program. But
yeah, well, share with me what I did for the people in sports.
You had a great night with your Gold Star locks. You had 250,000 units on Vegas in the NHL, closing out the Colorado Avalanche, and they did just that. They brought out the brooms.
See ya, Avs.
To win the Western Conference. And you also had 100,000 units on the Oklahoma City Thunder last night. And you're talking about being scared of the Thunder here. Well, the San Antonio Spurs looked a little scared of the Thunder north of the Red River last night as they dropped Game 5, 127-114 in OKC. The Thunder were down two starters. No Jalen Williams, no A.J. Mitchell, and it was no problem. SGA had a big night, 32 points. Jared McCain stepped into the starting lineup. He had 20. Alex Caruso with another big game in this series. And San Antonio did not lead in the second half. Hard to win when you don't lead in the second half. True. Oklahoma City pushed the lead to as many as 20 midway through the third quarter. The Spurs cut it down to 8 a couple of different times. They fought back, but that was as close as they got. And it was the worst game of the series for the Spurs. And now they are on the brink of elimination, Buck.
Yeah, I thought Wemby looked a little tired last night. And it's not like you're going to get a few days rest. I mean, you get one more day and then you're right back at it. It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot for a guy offensively, defensively. And having to carry that load. And plus, you know, first time going through this, you know, a lot of guys, it takes a little time to get it done, even if you're a great player. And it's hard to do by yourself. I mean, you're looking for somebody to step up. You know, Batman kind of needs a Robin, and they really haven't found one right now. And it's tough. And he looks tired. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't care what he does in the summer, how many monks he goes to visits and all that stuff. It's just, you just get tired. I mean, and they got guys that are wearing on him a little bit now, leaning on him a little bit. So we'll see if he can, you know, if he can bring it together, because he has to score. He has to score a lot. He has to block a lot, BK, and he has to rebound a lot for this team to win.
Yeah, he does. He needs to be the best player on the floor, and he was nowhere close to that last night. Here's Mitch Johnson, head coach of the San Antonio Spurs. He was asked post-game about Victor Wembanyama's performance. Wemby was just 4 of 15 from the floor. Did have 20 points, but not an efficient 20 at all. No. Only 6 rebounds, just 3 blocks on the defensive end. He was minus 8 for the game. It was not a strong performance from the 7-4 big man in San Antonio. Here's the head coach, Mitch Johnson, talking about the Spurs needing to get Wemby going a little bit more, maybe more than anything else.
We're going to need to. He's got to take more than 15 shots, even with the free throws. And yeah, he's going to have to score more than 20 points for sure.
And I'm sorry, is that his aggression or game plan or combination of both?
Yeah, combination of both for sure. OKC did a good job. We got to do a better job. and that's, yeah, probably the easiest in terms of when you just surface level stuff that he'll definitely need to take more shots. But there's a lot of things all over the place where even we had advantages and we just didn't make simple plays that take advantage of the opportunity in that possession. And in this type of game, you got to be sure of everything you're doing in a very secure, mature way.
Yeah, I mean, even when you have the shots close to the rim, you know, when they're clanking off the backboard real hard, I mean, it just shows that you're tired. It just, yeah. I mean, you can see by your performance and your movements that you're just a little fatigued. And as I said, they got a couple guys that can wear him down. No, not wear him all the way down. Well, yeah, you get 20 points, and some people would say, oh, what a great night. That's a pretty good night. But for him, that guy needs 30s. He needs to be in the 30s for them to win when the other guys are just going to be semi-role players and not really score a lot. But you can tell his shot. You can tell when he shoots the ball or when he's making his move to the hoop. If it's going to clank off, that's just, you know, that's him trying a little bit extra hard, you know. And all his openings seem to be out at the guard position, way out top. And they were giving him that. They said, yeah. Okay, you want this? You're not hitting these three-pointers anyway. We'll give you that. We just don't want you in the paint. And they kept him out of the paint last night.
They did. Give the Thunder some credit. Their defensive sure. game plan was really, really good. And Isaiah Hartenstein had a great night last night on both ends of the floor. I mean, he got the better of Victor Wembanyama. There is no doubt. And that cannot happen if San Antonio is going to come back and win two games in a row and ultimately win this series. If I may soapbox for a little bit, Buck, I mean, Wemby was terrible last night. Like,
yeah,
terrible. He made one field goal in every quarter. That's it. 4-15 from the floor, 0-5 from beyond the three-point line. He has struggled putting together back-to-back good games in this series. He has to be more consistent. I agree with you. He looked tired. He looked passive at times. Yes. If he wants to be the best player in the world, if he wants to be the MVP, he can't have games like that. The best player in the world does not have games like that in the playoffs. Okay? And Wemby's the guy who's like, I think I'm the best player in the world. I think I'm the MVP. If you're going to talk like that, you've got to back it up. That was the biggest game of his life last night. And he laid an absolute egg. He was horrible in that game. I mean, I don't care that he's young. I don't care that it's year three, this, that, and the other. If he thinks he's the best player in the world, and there's a lot of folks out there who do feel like he is the best basketball player on planet Earth right now, he cannot do that. He looked like Victor Prescott or Victor Romo. He had a Cowboys playoff collapse yesterday.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
He got outplayed by Isaiah Hartenstein. I'm going to say that again. That guy's like the sixth or seventh best player on the Thunder at best, and he was significantly better than Victor Wembanyama was last night. And then you had that moment in the third quarter where the Thunder were on a big run. San Antonio calls a timeout, and Wemby's like leading the huddle. He's yelling at all of his teammates on the bench, like, get it together, get it together. Dude, you got a mirror? Look in the mirror, dude. You were the worst player out there. You cost your team the game. It wasn't just him. You're right. Like, De'Aaron Fox wasn't good enough. Vassell was 2-for-11. Harper had maybe the worst game of his career. But it can't be all Robins. If Batman doesn't show up, to use your analogy,
yeah,
now you're not going to beat a team as good as Oklahoma City.
Well, no, he has to be that way for every game, as a matter of fact. It's not just, yeah, you know, two games here or there or one or every other game or the game that you – he has to be good like that every time they take – they don't have enough good play. They don't have a bench like the Thunder. The defending champs have role players that know their roles. They're good on offense and they're good on defense. They play, they're two-way players on the other side, and they've got a bunch of two-way players. You know, they got that dude Caruso's coming off. I mean, he's getting any shot he wants. Somebody has to cover that guy. Wemby can't cover that dude.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a matchup that isn't working at all. And Mitch Johnson has been a little slow to some adjustments throughout the course of this series, and that you just can't put Wemby on Caruso anymore because it's not working. Like, Caruso's too crafty. He's too smart. He knows where he's supposed to be, and he is finding ways to exploit Wemby on the defensive end. And That's leading to a lot of easy buckets for Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and Wimby has to have six unbelievable games. Or if it takes seven, he has to have seven. If he's to be the world's best player, he has to have that, because he doesn't have those kind of guys that are going to do that. So if he's the best, then you have to play the best. And no, you can get worn out, but you still got to give me 30 some points. You know, you got to make some of these little shots that he had going to the basket. They can't be clanging off the backboard, right? You know, and you can't let them make you become a 7'4" guard. I mean, you got to get down in the paint. No matter how you get pushed around, you're bigger than everybody else. You're taller than everybody else. So you have to go down in there no matter what they do to you, and you have to make those shots. Those little bunnies that he had last night that he missed, you can't do that if you want to be the best.
Yeah, I mean, there was just no aggression from Wemby, and he's the guy that sets the tone. Like, he's got to start well for the other guys to play well. And, I mean, game four, he got off to that incredible start. He was super efficient. He set the tone for San Antonio, and everybody else followed. I mean, he doesn't need to go for 41-24 every night like he did in game one, but he has to be more involved and more aggressive than what he was.
We know 20-25 won't get it done.
It was 20 points. It was 4-15 shooting and 0-5 from beyond the three-point line. Like, he was getting taken out of his rhythm early and often. I mean, he was just a non-factor in the game yesterday. It's crazy.
And this coach saying he needs to take more shots. I'm like, he does? He's not – coach, he's – that dude's not making them. He needs to take closer shots.
Well, yeah, he's got to be more aggressive and take better shots. But, I mean, look, if you're a superstar player, like SGA last night had 19 field goal attempts. He wasn't super efficient from the floor. I mean, I think the Spurs need Wemby to shoot at least 20 times per game. I really do. Yes. I mean, there's two games the Spurs have won in this series. Game one, he had 25 field goal attempts. Game four, he had 22 field goal attempts.
Yes.
The other three, he hasn't gotten over 16. So it's not just that number, but like that guy, again, when you're the superstar player, you need to take over. You got to err on the side of being a little selfish. And you can't be that lethargic that I'm good. He was a passenger in the game yesterday. It's embarrassing. For sure. Here's Victor Wembanyama after the game talking about what went wrong for him in game five. Can you hear that?
No.
Oh, no. There is no Victor Wembanyama because he skipped his post-game press conference after the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he's going into that mode.
And I'll admit this, like, that stuff doesn't bother me as much as it bothers other people. And maybe as a member of the media, it should. But, you know, you set yourself up for more criticism when you no-show, when you can't face the music after literally no-showing in the biggest game of your career.
You're too young not to face the music. You're just too young in your career to not face the music. You're going to have a lot of opportunities. Just go in there and face it, dude.
Yeah.
Whatever you say is not going to be right by some. So if you tell us you felt tired and you really feel that deep down inside, that's fine. But you're a superstar. Play like a superstar. That's all people are going to ask of you. They're not going to care if you're tired. They're not going to care if you get beat up down low. Get your ass down there and get beat up then.
Right. That's the playoffs, man. Like, you're trying to slay the dragon that is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
It's not the regular season in the NBA. It's different.
Wow. And look, again, people might get mad at us for being this critical, or mad at me for being this critical. It's like, dude, he's young. He's 22. It's only year three. I mean, again, when you claim to be the MVP, when you claim to be the best player in the world, you are going to be treated as such. Like LeBron, by the time LeBron was in year three, everybody was getting mad at him for every little thing he did wrong. So if Wemby wants to be that next guy, he's going to have to be accountable, held accountable for performances like that. Now, look, series isn't over. Tomorrow night, game six in San Antonio. Bounce back, have a great night, win that game, force a game seven on the road in Oklahoma City. You go ball out in that one. No one's going to remember the egg that you laid in game five. But
no, they're just gonna know that you guys are champions.
Right. But if you – I mean, again, it's like you said he looks tired. It's not like he's going to get less tired. There's not a bunch of rest between the rest of these games.
He's not getting an extra 2 days because he's tired. They're not giving him an extra two.
So if he looks tired and struggles again in game six or game seven, either of those games, if the Spurs end up losing this series, then that's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad look for him. And again, I mean, he needs other guys to step up. De'Aaron Fox was 4 for 15 too. It wasn't just Wemby, but that's the guy. And man, I think I try not to compare this Spurs to the Pop Spurs that much, because that's, I mean, that's a golden era. That's one of the best dynasties the NBA has ever seen. Sure. That maybe is unfair to do that. But I think if Greg Popovich was coaching that game last night, he would have benched all of the Spurs starters like midway through the third quarter. Like even before the game got out of hand, it's just like, you guys aren't playing well enough. You're not trying hard enough right now. I'm going to see if Mason or Miles Plumlee, whatever Plumlee they have, and Luke Kornet and McLaughlin and all of these other guys, I'm going to see if those guys want to be here, because it's clear that you guys don't right now. I think Pop would have done that. Mitch didn't. You know, whatever. But that was not a strong showing in the second half by San Antonio yesterday. Now their season is hanging in the balance.
Now they got to get it. They got to get it at home, huh?
Got to take care of business at home. They did open up as a 3.5-point home favorite. You don't need to make your gold star lock yet, because tip-off isn't until tomorrow. But a lot of people thought this series would go the distance when it started. San Antonio has the chance to make that a reality.
No doubt. Yeah. And they better. And they, if they want that to happen, they all better play good, because once again, you know, the champion, two-time champion, they're looking at, we don't want to come home. We want to go ahead and go to their place and get this over with. We don't want a game seven. We'd love to have a game seven at home and win it there, but guess what? I'd rather win it. It's fine to win it on the road, too. I still get paid and I still get a trophy.
For sure. Oh, and you got to think about what's waiting for you, right? The Knicks are already done.
Yeah, that's true.
They swept their conference finals. They're going to have the rest advantage either way, but obviously if the series goes seven, then they'll have even more of a rest advantage over the winner of the West. So
it's not like Oklahoma, it's over. You do have to face the Knicks. And just because you get out of this one doesn't mean the next one's going to be easy. Knicks are playing pretty well right now.
They are playing well. Yeah. I mean, I'd still lean the winner of the West is going to win the NBA finals, but the Knicks are playing some good basketball right now. And we talk about it. The postseason in sports a lot of times is a war of attrition. And one team's won 11 games in a row. They've swept their last two series. And San Antonio or Oklahoma City, whoever comes out of this thing alive is going to – I mean, we've already seen injuries in this series. So,
yes,
there are guys who are banged up and guys who could get more banged up as you play more games. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, very disappointed with Wemby last night and the entire San Antonio Spurs in a game of that magnitude. That was a total stinker from San Antonio. All right, we'll take your thoughts. Unless you got any more you want to add, Buck?
No, that's plenty. They need their rest. They need to get some rest.
They need to get some rest. Well, off day today, so they'll get that much rest before.
They'll be hanging down at the Riverwalk. Go to sleep.
They're going to be drinking at Pat O'Brien's or something down there.
Whatever you have to do to win tomorrow, you got to do it.
Maybe they go take a trip to the Alamo.
Yeah, remember the Alamo. Bring it. Just bring it.
Yeah. You know, remember, I don't know if we talked about this on the show or not, but after the Spurs lost game three at home by double digits, Greg Popovich met with the team. And I don't know what he said, but the following game, game four, the Spurs romped the Thunder. So I don't know if Pop's going to try that again or if he's like, oh, the hell with this crap. I ain't wasting my time on you.
No, if I give you my good speech and you go and lose, I'm like an idiot. I'm not doing that again. Yeah. I already gave you one win. Hey, I gave you one win. You got to go earn your others.
I don't know if that happens again. Yeah, Pop, the Alamo, Fiesta, Texas. Maybe those guys go to the amusement park today.
Hey, go see Shamu.
Go see Shamu at SeaWorld. SeaWorld's still around.
Yeah, go see Shamu. Go say hello to Shamu. Maybe you need that.
Shamu, ShamWow, Landry Shamit, whatever. I don't care. Go see somebody and wipe that stink off your breath.
Boy, that was stink last night. It was.
It was, man. It was not good. All right, the Dakota text line, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. We'll get to some sound from Steve Sarkisian, who held a press conference yesterday at the SEC spring meetings in Destin, Florida. before we let you hear from the head coach of the Texas Longhorns, how about our first round of sponsor shout outs?
Folks, our friends at Relax the Back embrace a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years of proven expertise. Heal and recover, work smarter, sleep reimagined, and live pain-free. Two locations, the Hill Country Galleria right across the street from Whole Foods, and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center, of course, across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck at Relax the Back. Don't forget, Memorial Day sales still going on at Relax the Back. Savings on just about everything in the store. Once again, the two locations, go check it out, the Hill Country Galleria and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center. I love Relax the Back. I had my vibrating ball on this morning on my back. Felt absolutely fine.
Using the vibrator in the morning, huh?
Early in the morning. Got that vibrator going, brother.
I like that. Good for you, man. I'm glad you're having a good day so far.
Hey, big smile on my face with the vibrating ball.
That's why you're so happy right now. Oh, I understand. I like it. Love Relax the Back. Yep, as the Buck said, the Memorial Day sale continues throughout the course of the week. I'm looking at their website right now. They've got some great prices on mattresses, on chairs, on tools, accessories, everything the Buck just talked about. Go to relaxtheback.com to shop online. Also, some love to AV Consultations. Hey, you get you a nice recliner from Relax the Back, and then upgrade your home TV setup with audiovisual consultations. They are the very best in the business, and they can hook you up the way they've hooked Central Texas up since 1988. Seriously, they've been around longer than I've been alive. Thousands of satisfied customers. If you want to upgrade your home TV setup, maybe that home theater room, maybe the four-screen man cave like I have, maybe a woman cave, maybe the big 85-incher like the Bucks got, whatever, AV Consultations can make it all happen for you. Don't go buy a TV somewhere and then call AVC. No, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. Call on Tom McKay and his crew, and they're going to bring everything to you. TVs, surround sound speakers, they do whole home lighting. They do surveillance systems. They even put a golf simulator in your home. They do it all. Anything technology related, the best equipment, the best service, the best people, they're the best at what they do. 512-255-8678. Or you can find them online at avconsultations.com.
Now, friends at Woods Comfort Systems, they're coming today. I get my checkup, get my summertime checkup from the guys at Woods Comfort Systems. You know, I've got my time slot right around noontime, and they're generally on time. So I'm looking forward to making sure my air conditioner is going to be working properly, because the heat will soon be on, folks. After all this rain, this humidity is going to come seeping up, and you want everything to be working properly, and especially your air conditioner in the state of Texas. Now, they've been doing air conditioning and heating for close to 70 years in Central Texas. Trust them to do plumbing. If you got a problem with that rain last night and something has screwed up and your plumbing isn't correct, call on Woods Comfort Systems. They'll get that done also. They are trusted by so many people in Central Texas. As I said, 70 years, nobody does it better.
No, they don't. WoodsComfortSystems.com, 512-842-5066 is the number to call. And also some love to our friends at SendTex Tickets. We're just a couple of days away from the Austin Regional. We're one day away from the Women's College World Series getting going in Oklahoma City. If you want a road trip to watch the Longhorn softball team, get your tickets to the games at SendTextTickets.com. Of course, if you're trying to catch a baseball game at the Dish this weekend, SendText Tickets has you covered. It's not just Texas. It's Austin FC. It's events out at Coda. It's concerts. It's Broadway shows. It's festivals. Hey, game 6 in San Antonio. You want to be there in the Alamo City? Get your tickets at SendTextTickets.com. Don't forget to use our exclusive promo code SendText10. If you type that in at checkout, you're going to get 10% off of any ticket purchase from our great friends at SendTextTickets.com. All right, what was, before we let you hear from Steve Sarkisian, you mentioned some sort of story about you and a snake. What happened here?
As I was coming to my house yesterday, you know, that rained the night before, a little bit of rain. This snake is starting to cross the road, and it's the weirdest thing. I'm driving. You know how I am with the little ducks. I don't want to run over the ducks. Don't want to run over the little ducklets or whatever they're called, little gaggle of geese or whatever it is. Yeah. So I'm driving, and BK, the snake is like halfway across the road, and it's going really, really slow. I mean, and the road is hot. It was hot yesterday. The sun was hot. And so I could have driven right over the snake. I went around the snake, But I wanted to come back. So I turned back around because I wanted to see what kind of snake it was. And then it must have got off that cement so quick. And I did a quick turn to come back. That dude was gone. And so I'm looking all, you know me, I'm like looking all over the place. I pull over to the side. I'm like, where the hell is it? Because it was big. It was really, it was a dark, it wasn't a rattler. And it wasn't a copperhead. This snake was big. It must have been like a rat snake, big rat snake. But I just want to, I want to be commended, and I would like to have a ribbon or something that I didn't just run this snake smooth over, because it was a snake of some sort. But I went around it. I came back. I went back, I went to look to see what it was. Now, I wasn't going to get out of the car to go mess with it. I just kind of peeked over the side with the window rolled down and then went about my business. But I did not hit the snake. There would be others that would have taken their, gone out of their way to run that sucker over.
Okay, a couple of questions here. Number one, was it a last-second swerve to avoid the snake?
No. I could see it. It looked like, I saw this thing kind of poking out, about a foot out from the side of the road. I'm very aware. I'm a professional driver, so I'm very aware of my surroundings.
Sure.
So I see this thing sticking out. I'm thinking, it could be a stick. Could be, some empty 32-ounce bottle. I don't want to hit this thing with my and rip up my tires. And so it looks like it's looking both ways, like a kid crossing the road. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a snake. And so it just gets out a little bit more, but I just slowly go around it.
Okay.
And it was long and it was thick too. So it must have been, for all you people that know all these different types of snake, bull snake, rat snake, just looking for a meal along the side of the road. But I think I should be commended for not running the snake over. Now, I know what some of you people would have done.
I probably would have run it over.
Yeah, I just remember a story by my old buddy, the same buddy that told me the story of licking your chicken, that he met a guy that said, hey, don't count your chickens. But this Asian guy said, don't be licking your chicken.
Yeah.
You got a kick out of it. Well, the same guy told me the story that he's driving down the road and he looks up out of his windshield, and that snake, a snake comes popping out like where the windshield wipers would be. And it's up on his windshield as he's driving, BK, on the highway. And he said he freaked out. He slams on the brake, pulls over to the side. He gets out. He opens up the hood. He gets back in and gets ready to go again. And the snake comes back up. It's on the windshield again. And he's like, he pulls over again. It came up through where the hood, between the hood and the windshield.
Oh, no.
He said he turned up, pulled over again, and the snake drops out of the bottom and just takes off. And I said, that I don't know what I would do with that. I would have killed somebody. I would have collided into anything. I would have pulled over in the ditch and run myself off the road.
He's just driving, and then all of a sudden, like out of the hood of his car pops a snake?
And it's just like sitting up on the windshield, just like looking in at him.
Oh, my God. No, yep. Dude. You said I'm not one of those guys who's like terrified of snakes, but that is pretty terrifying right there.
You would have sold the car?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I definitely – so he saw the snake fall out of the bottom of the car, right?
Yeah,
so
when he pulled over the second time, he saw it fall out and just slither away.
Still, I would not open the hood of my car again unless I had a gun with me or unless I had like six other people who could have gotten bit first.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was what kind of viper this thing was, but yes, I expect a ribbon from somebody from PETA.
You expect a ribbon?
I should get something for being a caretaker of the land, you know?
Just go eat a Hat Creek burger today and call that your win.
Oh, no, they'll still be pissed for that, won't they?
Yeah, but you saved one animal. Now you're eating another animal. So it's.
Thank you very much.
It's an even trade right there. An eye for an eye, if you will.
Yeah, this snake. So people didn't know this was not a rattlesnake. It wasn't. I know what a copperhead looks like. I know what, garter snakes look like. I know what those weird, red and yellow killer fellow snakes look like. But this thing was big and thick. Mm-hmm. That dude was looking. I don't know if he's looking for one of my cats. I don't know what the hell he's looking for, but it was. I went around it. I didn't want, and you know what I thought of too? I thought of my buddy. I don't want that snake jumping up underneath my car and coming up on the windshield.
You saw a big, thick snake on the side of the road, huh?
Yes.
Trying to hitch a ride.
By the way, folks, they're out right now. And after this rain, they're really going to be out.
The snakes?
Oh, yeah. They'll come out of their holes. This water will force them out, force them to some sunshine. So when in doubt, wear gloves, wear long pants. And, hey, don't be reaching in your pots. If you're gardening like me, don't be reaching under stuff. Make sure you got a little rake. They make little kitty rakes. Get a rake and do all that before you start sticking your hands in this stuff.
Right. As they say, turn around, don't get bit. I think that's the...
Yeah, turn around, don't get bit. I mean, I heard about, it's probably 10 years ago, I tell the story of a lady who stuck her hand in a pot at Home Depot and got bit by a rattlesnake.
At Home Depot?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like they can lock up everything. They have the gardening section. So, you know, there's holes where things can come in. And this dude placed himself underneath one of the pots and she stuck her hand. I said, if I get bit by at home, it's going to be Bucky Depot. If I get bit by a snake at Home Depot, it won't be Home Depot. It's Buck Depot from that point on.
I was going to say
everybody.
Arthur did she Blank, not sue? I would have sued there.
I don't know. Maybe she did, but she got bit there for sure.
Buck Depot. If only. If only.
You know, so please be careful out there. A lot of people out moving stuff around now. You know, you think it's, you know, you got a little precipitation, a little water out there. You can go do a bunch of gardening. Be careful out there in those gardens. They're looking for a place to, with this heat, they're looking for a spot to sit around in. Don't let that spot be your spot. Make sure you move things around first.
A tip for adults in the garden.
Yes, yes. Yeah, adults are kind of silly because I was silly for a lot of years, just taking a gloved hand and putting it, you know, in pots and moving stuff around. Man, oh, man. Some of that stuff blends. Some of those little creatures blend really well into the leaves and stuff underneath the pots.
I think you are still pretty silly because you're a straight guy who gardens. So I do think that silliness hasn't completely left you, my friend.
No.
All right, let's get to a little sound from Steve Sarkisian, who held a short press conference in Destin yesterday at the site of the SEC spring meetings. Now, Sark met with the media for about 15 minutes, then he had a separate breakout session, but we've got some sound from his official, if you will, press conference down there. And Buck, he was only asked one question about his team. He was asked zero questions about Arch Manning. What a difference a year makes. I mean, even 2 years ago, when like we knew Arch Manning wasn't the starting quarterback, it felt like every question that Sark would get asked throughout the offseason was, what's the deal with Arch? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Is he going to transfer? How does he look? This, that, and the other. And here we go into Arch's fourth year on campus, obviously going into his second season as the starter, and nobody had any questions about him. Now, I think that has less to do with Arch Manning and more to do with the state of college athletics right now, because the vast majority of the questions posed to Sark were about NIL and the future of the playoff and the SEC championship. We'll get to some of Sark's thoughts on those topics in a moment. But first, the one question he was asked about his team was about Cam Coleman. And it was an Auburn reporter who actually asked the question. But here was Sark when asked about how Cam Coleman has fit in to the Texas Longhorns since arriving out of the transfer portal.
Yeah, no, Cam's been a great addition. You know, I think when you turn on the tape of his time at Auburn, I think it's very easy to see the skill set, the size, the speed, the playmaking ability, the 50-50 balls. What you don't see under the hood, you know, when you take the helmet off, is a human being. This guy's an awesome human. His work ethic is incredible, and it's a great way to add to a team that already had some talented people on it. To say your best players are your hardest workers, Cam Coleman fits right into that, and he's a great teammate. Like I said, as from a player perspective, we're very fortunate to have him. From the teammate perspective, we might even be more fortunate to have him.
That's great to know. The guy's is a great teammate. That's enough. That's there's a lot said to that statement. A lot of guys can be great players and be all right teammates. You know, they just don't. They don't add anything, but they don't get in the way. This guy sounds like he adds a lot to being on this campus.
Yeah, and that's not the first time we've heard Steve Sarkisian kind of say something along those lines, right? I mean, we all know the type of talent that Cam Coleman is. We're talking about a five-star recruit coming out of high school, but not only a five-star, a guy who was the third-ranked player overall in his high school class. And he's had two pretty productive years at Auburn. So we know the body type, we know the talent, we know the skill set, all of that stuff shows up. But in today's college football, I think you have to worry a little bit when you get a big-time transfer like that. How is he going to fit in? Is he only here for the money? Was he just trying to get a check? Does he actually care about winning? Does he actually care about his teammates? Or is it, well, I had to play college somewhere because I couldn't go pro yet, and you offered me the most money, so I'm going to go there and just get me through this season, please. There's a lot of things that you have to fear if you're a coach going after a player like Cam Coleman in the transfer portal, and it sounds like Cam Coleman has – brought none of those fears to the table. I mean, he's been the exact opposite of that. He has been a great addition, obviously, from a player standpoint, but as Sark said, from a leadership standpoint and from a locker room / culture standpoint, we continue to hear nothing but positive remarks about the big-time wide receiver.
Yeah, and for, of course, for Cam Coleman, it's not like, I mean, yeah, I could have gone places and made a lot of money. I had to think this out. Where would I want to be? What type of offense do I want to be around? What kind of quarterback do I want? I haven't had a quarterback since I came on Auburn's campus. Where am I going to go now? Just go for the money? I could go anywhere for the money. So this decision was a decision made on his future, a smart decision on where he should go. It wasn't just a money decision. It was about his future and his future earnings. So
that's a great point. I mean, if you believe the reports, Cam Coleman was not offered the most money by Texas. Now, look, Texas offered a lot of money. He's making a lot of money to be here. Let's call a spade a spade. But that was not his number one priority, and he left some money on the table to go be a part of this team. And you're right, he's had horrible quarterback play in his first 2 years of college football. Jackson Arnold and Peyton Thorne, horrible coaching, right? Hugh Freeze got fired midway through this past season. That guy was spending more time on the golf course than he was in the film room. You go to Steve Sarkisian, who's an elite offensive mind, who's done a tremendous job developing wide receivers and do high draft picks in the NFL. Obviously, you get to play with a quarterback like Arch Manning, who's projected to be the number one pick in next year's NFL draft. Like, that stuff matters. I mean, he's been a part of a losing culture the last couple of years with subpar coaching and awful quarterback play. He didn't want to risk, like, I'll just take more money somewhere else. No, he wanted to go to a situation that was a lot more sure, to where he could ensure that he has a great season and ends up as a very high draft pick in 2027.
Yeah, that dude was not going to be a bust. If he went to a bad quarterback for more money, he understands what his future is about. He's prepping himself to make a lot of money with the situation he's surrounded and make money while he's here.
Yeah. And again, I mean, there are reports out there.
And then be a good teammate. And then be a good teammate. Be something that people are going to talk about outside of the realm of football, that this is the kind of guy you want on your squad, you want around your organization. He can be the face of your organization. So this is that was smart. He didn't, that wasn't just some whimsical thought or process. Oh, Texas is going to offer me this much money, I'm just going to go there. No. Yeah. I mean, he thought about what his future was going to be.
Oh, for sure. And look, if you're Texas, you obviously meet with any of these players before you sign them or even offer them. But it's not like high school recruiting where you've got years to develop a relationship with the kid. You know everything about him. You know everything about his family. You know the type of player he is, but also you know the type of person he is. In the portal, it all happens in the matter of days. So it's sometimes, you don't have to be a great teammate to get your NIL money. So sometimes, you just don't know what you get. You hope the guy's a great person and a great teammate, but because it all happens so fast, you don't really know. It's very refreshing that we're talking about. I mean, the highest paid player in the portal is Brendan Sorsby. He's not even going to play at Texas Tech. He was gambling too much. Doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad teammate, but like, you never know what you're going to get out of the portal.
Absolutely.
Cam Coleman has checked all the boxes, I think, and then some since arriving to Austin.
Yeah, that's good. Sark has done a great job with the guys that he's chosen to come here. You know, he didn't bring a bunch of sluggos here for the money and good players. He brought, sounds like he's always seemed to have brought good people here. And whether it's through the portal or recruiting, they investigate guys. They do their work. They probably turned down a few that we don't know about that were probably pretty good players, you know, just no, that's not a good fit for us. Not a good fit for Austin or this campus. I guarantee he's turned down some pretty good players.
Definitely. There's no doubt about that from the high school ranks and from the portal ranks.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. So that was great to hear about Cam Coleman. And again, that was the one Texas related question that was posed to Steve Sarkisian yesterday, but he did give a number of thoughts on a number of other topics. More sound from Steve Sarkisian. We'll go to this one. So obviously he had those quotes in that USA Today article a couple of weeks ago that went viral regarding Ole Miss. Remember the basket weaving comments, Buck?
Oh, yeah. Basket weaving is back in session.
Which was hilarious. Obviously those blew up. Ole Miss fans were ticked. It became a national story. And Steve Sarkisian yesterday was actually asked if he was punished by the SEC for those comments. Because there are some bylaws written in the SEC rules that say, like, you can't take shots at other SEC member institutions. So somebody was curious, like, hey, Sark, did you get punished for what you said? Here was Sark responding to that question and then issuing a bit of an apology for those quotes in that USA Today piece.
No, I was not. And again, I think some of those comments were, I hate to say, taken out of context. I was talking about the inequities in college athletics. And one of those inequities was as it pertains to transfers and teams and how we all can recruit certain different transfers. We have a rule at the University of Texas. We can only take 50% of towards your degree, no matter how many hours you've completed. Other schools can take all of your hours that you take. To me, that's an inequity in our sport. Those are some of the things that we have to work through. I could have used macroeconomics. I could have used engineering. It wouldn't have mattered. The class was irrelevant. And that was poor choice of words on my part. But no, I was not punished for that.
Yeah, I like that. I like the fact that he says, you know, yeah, I said it. I did it. I could have used some different words, but I said it. And the fact that he brought back basket weaving, I think, as a major is really cool. So I'm fine with it. You know, at the time he said it, I said, why would he even go there? Don't go there. Don't do that. But when people say taken out of context, no, it wasn't taken out of context. You said that. You said basket weaving, coach. And there's not, we know exactly what you're trying to say. But I appreciate him going back and saying, you know, I used some poor choice of words. Not to me. I'm excited about basket weaving coming back. Maybe we can get more kids in school. For you, you should be excited about it. Having classes on basket weaving, right? That was okay with you.
I wish I took basket weaving in school.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that was a class I actually would have attended.
Oh, God.
You know,
yeah.
I'm glad Sark used basket weaving, too, because that made it a lot funnier. And we're all about
absolutely.
And that gave us some content. But also,
and that's what he was actually trying to do. I mean, he was trying to get a message across, but he's trying to be a funny guy. Everybody wants to be a little bit of a comedian every once in a while. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I think you're right. Like, I think Sark was trying to get a message across. If he did use macroeconomics or finance or like a legitimate respected class, if you will, then nobody would be talking about this issue right now. But now, I mean, Sark's trying to bring attention to this. He's trying to bring attention to a number of issues. Obviously, the comments he made about Texas Tech without referencing them by name, but saying like, man, we could go undefeated against their schedule with our twos and threes. And the way the college football playoff is set up right now, like we're being judged on the exact same playing field that they're being judged.
Yes.
And that went viral. Everyone's like, oh, how dare he takes a shot at Texas Tech. He did that because he wants people to realize how dumb some of these rules are that we have in college football. So he's talking about like, and I know a lot of people say he's the coach at Texas. Why is he complaining about, oh, something's not being fair. He's got everything he needs. Well, these are legitimate things that are different. Like in the NFL, feels like we're trying to turn college football into the NFL. It's like there aren't different rules and regulations for the 32 teams. They follow the same standard set of rules. So Sark's right. Like, yeah, the transfer portal is a huge deal. We're not able to get as many people as a lot of schools because we have these stricter regulations on who we can take. How is that fair? They get these rules and regulations. We get these rules and regulations. What's going on? So basket weaving, using that quote, yeah, it was harsh. I don't really think it was taken out of context. He said what he said. But right. Again, nobody would be talking about any of this if he didn't use basket weaving. He's clearly trying to be a mouthpiece slash voice for college football to get some of these.
Yeah, but like you say, nobody wants to hear that from the head coach of Texas. Like most people are like, come on, you got everything that you need. I know right. It's yeah, you know, that's
well, here's the thing. Like Nick Saban was that guy at Alabama for years. He would complain about things were wrong with the sport. And you have everything at Alabama that you need to be successful. So, yeah, for a lot of people, it's like, shut up, Nick. Like, what are you complaining about? You've got it better than anybody else. But also, some things were able to get changed because of Nick Saban's complaints. Now, there's no coach who's really doing this right now. Like, Nick Saban and Urban Meyer were not shy to complain about college football and voice their frustrations with the sport.
Yeah, guys who had it all.
And Steve Sarkisian is kind of trying to fill that void. Now, a lot of people are like, well, Sark, maybe you should win something before you start doing that. But, you know, Kirby Smart is not – he's just not that kind of guy. Like, Kurt Cignetti is not that kind of guy. I think of the coaches who have won national championships, like, that's just not their personality. So I think Sark, obviously a Nick Saban mentee, is like, I'm going to be that coach who voices some frustrations, who maybe gets yelled at by other fans and other people around the sport, but I'm going to try to – make sure I could get some things changed.
Sure. If we as a sport have uniformity, yeah, I'm still going to be on the good end because I'm at Texas. But we still need to have uniformity. Period. This is running roughshod over the entire sport, and so we won't have a sport here shortly.
I think that's his big concern right now. And you know, part of me, maybe this is Steve Sarkisian wanting to take attention away from Arch Manning and his players, right? Like, he's now the storyline. Everybody's talking about Steve Sarkisian, what he says and what he said. And, oh, did you have to apologize for those comments? And did you get punished for those comments? And what did you mean by that? Again, nobody asked a question about Arch Manning yesterday. Maybe that's Steve Sarkisian's goal, is like, I want all the heat. Y'all come after me. I'm a man. I'm 50. I don't know if he went that far. But, like, I wonder if that's – maybe I'm giving Sark too much credit here, but I wonder if part of him just making all.
I think he was speaking for the sport in general. I think he was doing a good job of speaking. I don't know if he had the intentions of doing that for Arch, but it may come off that way. That maybe that takes a little pressure. That kid's going to get pressure no matter what. And if the coach can take a little off of him, why not?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more of the trying to save college football as we know it. But I also think, again, whether it's intentional or unintentional, like the fact that Sark wasn't asked a single Arch Manning question yesterday, I think has a lot to do with the fact that he's been talking as much as he has. Now he's writing some checks, and he better hope that he and his players can cash them in the fall. Sure. But I don't know, man. I think Sark's doing that for multiple reasons, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to Kirby yesterday. Kirby talking about, you know, leaving – you know, taking his ball and going home. And if we have to, I'm not afraid to go that way and all that stuff. I'm like, dude, how about help the sport? Say, I mean, is that going to help? Is that helping college football? It's just not the haves. It's some of the have nots that are trying. And it's not just your sport. All these things that we're talking about in college football, NIL, you know, not having a governing body that's worth a damn. I mean, it affects not only the football program, it affects all the sports and all. It affects women's, you know, sports. It affects non-revenue drawing sports. You're going to lose out on these here shortly if you keep it up. That's, so I think when guys say, well, no, I think we, the Big Ten and the SEC, we're going to take our ball. We'll go other places. Yeah, but it's not good for the sport itself.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen.
I know you don't. I know as much as – you know, you're not a Title IX guy like me. You know, you don't want all those sports to go away. You don't want to see women's rowing and tennis and things like that disappearing because of football.
Right. No, I mean, all these student athletes deserve opportunities, Buck.
Yeah, there you go.
And I do mean that. And I will give Kirby Smart some credit, because he did say yesterday along those lines that his biggest concern with college football is that it's going to ruin all of the other sports.
Correct.
I mean, earlier this offseason, Arkansas announced that they were going to cut their tennis programs. And then there was major backlash. And then they reversed course, changed their mind, and said, actually, no, we're good. But that's an SEC school. This isn't like, I think most people are like, well, if football gets all the money, then all these G6 schools and D2, whatever, they're going to have to start cutting. But it's not going to affect like the SEC or the Big Ten, right? And then it almost, Arkansas almost had to cut tennis, men's and women's. So, yeah, that's something that would be a disaster, I think. Whether you care as much about those sports as you do football, I understand that the majority of people don't. That's still not right to do that just for the sake of keeping up with the Joneses in college football. That's ridiculous.
Now, and, you know, I've heard coaches talk about, you know, forget 24 teams. Let's get to 40, because that way, selfishly, I can keep my job. If I get my team to the playoffs, well, coach, eventually, even if you get your teams with 40, you still could get fired. You go out in the first, you could, he said, well, I got a better chance of keeping my job if I make it to the playoffs with 40 teams. And that's on a selfish thing, thinking of yourself, but it's a job. You're trying to keep that job, right?
That's it. Oh, we'll get to more sound from Steve Sarkisian in hour two, because he was kind of asked about that, and he went on a little bit of a rant about just how the total mentality of college football and college football fans has changed. Like, it used to be you could have a great year if you were 10-2 and you won a BCS bowl or a New Year's Six bowl. You won your conference championship. Now it's like, if you don't make the playoff, you suck. You're a bum. You're a loser. It was a horrible season. And he's like, that's not what college football used to be. So, I mean, he brought up James Franklin too, like not by name, but he's like, there was a coach that made the semifinal 2 years ago, and by game five, he was already fired. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I, the more I listen to it, the more I keep it at 12 and 16. I could care less about the more isn't the merrier to me. It's just, I know the more what it's all about is the money. And if it's going to work out and people are going to get big pieces of the pie, that's fine. But I want Saturdays to mean something in college football. I don't want it just to be at the end of the year, let's get the tournament started. Let's get to get into a national championship. I think college football on Saturdays is just so cool. It's just different, you know? And you start losing what it means and you get a bunch of 8-4s in, you know, because you got 40. I want a bunch of 8-4 teams that I know that you have a feeling as a fan, and you know that that team is not winning a national championship at 8-4. And you're not caring much about the season. I want the season to matter. I want every Saturday to matter.
Well said. Agreed. 100%. And you're almost turning into college basketball where it's like, people don't care until the tournament. You risk turning into that if you keep adding more teams to the college football.
That's not how college football Saturdays is. It never was, and it shouldn't turn into that.
That's always been the beauty of college football. That's been a separator between that and other sports, is every game matters. And other sports, baseball, you can lose a ton of games and still make the playoffs and win a World Series. The NFL, you can lose a number of games and still make the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. In college football, it used to be, and if you lose once, your season might be done. And then it turned into you lose twice and your season might be done. Now it's three times, and we're talking about maybe going to four or five losses. And
yeah, I mean, every Saturday should matter. College football fans deserve that their Saturdays mean something, you know? Not like, let's wait till the end of the year. Okay, let's get these 7-5 and 8-4 teams, let's make it 40 or 50 teams so we can get them all in there and see some really bad, crappy football during this tournament time. But, hey, there's a lot of money. Every Saturday something's going on. No, a Saturday during the regular season should mean something for college fans, and I think it does.
I agree. All right, before we chop it up with our guy Chip Brown from Horns247.com, Buck, how about a quick round of sponsor shout-outs?
Folks, if you're seeking that special patient-focused orthopedic care, contact the experts at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care. For Chip with the bad wrist or Buck with the bad knee, they offer that for you too, but it's surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care, spinal care, sports medicine, trauma care, joint replacement, and more. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton, dedicated orthopedic surgeons there. Their goal is to get you right back into good health, the great quality of life that you deserve. Folks, Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Love to Texas Orthopedics. Also, a shout out to our friends at Qualis Roofing and Construction. Look, A roof is your home's first line of defense against the elements, and it's important to preserving your property's structural integrity and its health and its value. Your roof matters a lot. Don't ignore it. We've had some crazy storms over these past few weeks, including one last night. Don't just be like, well, there's no leaks. There's no water coming in my place. My roof is fine. That's not how it works. Reach out to Qualis Roofing and Construction. They will come out to your place for free. Free inspections, free storm assessments. They will make sure that your roof is good to go for the next set of storms. You might have something minor that's an issue right now that can be cleaned up pretty easily and very cheaply. If you ignore it, it could turn into a major repair or even a full roof replacement that's going to cost you a lot of money. Reach out to Qualis Roofing and Construction. If something's already wrong with your roof, they also handle insurance claims as well. They'll fight the insurance company so you don't have to do it. Their customer service is second to none. It's why they've got more than 700 five-star reviews online. High-quality work. It's a company that's been around, and they are going to stay around for a long time. Plus, if you have them out to your place, they'll hook you up with a free Longhorns t-shirt. They want your business. They're going to work to earn it every step of the way. QualisGC.com is their website, or you can give them a call at 512-257-0033 for Qualis Roofing and Construction.
So our friends over at Early Bird CBD, of course, I'll be using it tomorrow when I go play golf. I'll tell you, whether it's my back, my knees, just my whole body in general, I take a couple of drops before I go play, about an hour before I go play. And the pain afterwards, got no pain. I've gone now, I've done the drops twice, BK, and I've made it through a couple days afterwards without having any knee pains. And I walk all over the place. I hear all day long, hey, old man, get in the cart. That's why we have a cart. You shouldn't be walking the course. So I got to get my steps in. You know, I got my life alert here on my wrist. Got to get my steps in whether I'm on the golf course or not. But I don't want the pain afterwards. And since I've been taking that Early Bird CBD, I've been kind of pain-free for days after a round of golf. So love that stuff, whether it's the gummies or the drops, but I've been using the drops lately.
Don't forget the promo code Bucky for 20% off your first order at earlybirdcbd.com, a local Austin company that makes products designed to make you feel good. Whether you're on the golf course, whether you're on the couch, whether you're anywhere in between, give Early Bird a try. We love it. We think y'all will too.